meaningful brands outperform in the stock market, it's only because of that. They are helping consumers to lead a much more better and enriched life. Seen that choice architecture emerging, that I want brands to deliver on the collective benefits, but I want to be that I want it to start with me. So I am taking the responsibility to first affect that change. Because if I can start affecting that change, there are 10 people along the way who will also start thinking, feeling the same way.
Alternate profession could have been.
Maybe working with the weavers and having my own line of, saris or something, doing something much more meaningful than what I'm doing currently.
Oh, nice. Hello, fellows. Welcome to the next episode of Jagged with Jasravi. Subscribe to my channel for conversations at the edge with thought leaders from the branding, marketing, and the business world. Conversations that ignite new ideas, ideas with rough and sharp edges. Hello, Sanchita. I am thrilled to have you on my show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here.
If I requested you to share your profile as a tweet, now that's like a difficult task, so much experience and so many brands and being a veteran of the industry. But if you had to, what would you say?
So I always say this that, I'm a work in progress, in this journey called life. But what keeps me going is books, travel, food. Being a Bengali, you can't not be a foodie. And of course, theater, art, music, I think the usual. I mean, there's nothing which is like very different from a lot of people. But yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
Bhishan Bhalo.
Not bad.
I'm a Bengali enthusiast. My mom is born and brought up in Kolkata. My entire maternal side is there. So awesome. Today, our focus of conversation, Sanchita, is meaningful brands study, a proprietary study of Awas Group. Sanchita, the moment I came to know about meaningful brands study, what struck me is that such an apt focus because, like we say, human beings are meaning-making machines. We will interpret, we will make everything that's happening, which could be just a fact or an incident, mean something. Brands also have to mean something for us to, so for us to feel they are fulfilling a need. So this entire meaningful brand study, which I came to know we've been doing since 15 years, if you had to tell us, in the beginning, its core premise and the scale or scope, what would you like to say?
As you rightly said, this is the 15th year of the Meaningful Brand Study. It's the first global framework that actually connects brands with well-being, right? With human well-being. So what it really does is for us there is it explores how brands tangibly help improves the lives of people functionally, the how do they enhance personal well-being, and what is it that brands deliver on a large societal front. So basically, how are brands contributing to the overall, well-being of the society? So what it really does is it's a global study where we do about 300,000, 400,000, sorry, respondents. We track more than 2,000 plus brands across, 30 plus categories. And it's done across 30 markets worldwide. In India, we roughly reach out to about say 8,000 respondents. We track about 15 categories and about 150 odd brands within the category. So that is essentially how the study is structured. What the study does is across three key pillars, which is functional, personal, and collective pillars. It tries to understand how are brands performing across these three pillars. So basically, across these three pillars, there are some 16 dimensions And sorry, there are some 13 dimensions, and then there are some 48 attributes. So you track each and every to finally arrive at, a meaningful score. So which takes into account the performance, which takes into account the equity that the brand has, and it gives you a meaningful score. So the way we then use the study, or what it really throws out, it tells us, how across these three pillars are brands performing. And therefore, what is it that consumers expect from brands, and how are brands delivering on those expectations, and helps identify the gaps. See, suppose, for example, a category is dialing up more on, say, personal benefits, right? Whereas the brand has been talking more functional. So what it really gives you is that cue for communication to say that this is, here is the opportunity. And therefore, for brands, as next steps, they can dial up their ladder up their communication basis, the findings of what is it that they need to, throw more emphasis on, or behind, or what is it that they need to throw their weight behind. So basically, what we do is we in the categories that we track, we do a comparison of, what the category numbers are, where is the category stacking up, and therefore, from a brand perspective, how is it for that the brand and its competition in the category, and then arrive at, therefore, what is it that we need to do? Because it will give you very clear-cut directions as to the opportunity areas that a brand might have.
So, like you said, so there are many segues we can take. One that we will go deeper in, Sanchita, is the well-being aspect that you talked about. And before that, and after that, what has been the key findings of the 2023 version, especially for India? So when you were talking about the diagnostics and the shifts for taking forward the next steps, defining the next steps for a brand, you beautifully talked about the fact that the competition, where it's going, what attributes are becoming important for consumer, hence understanding the evolution. And also, are you defining your category set right? Because if for those variables where you can deliver more, there are certain surrogate brands or a surrogate category that is coming up. You can also understand the larger dynamics that is going on. And of course, any cultural shifts that are going on in terms of how consumer is valuing what. So that, I think, becomes very, very, sorry to say, meaningful. That's the word that everybody is going to hear a lot today.
Yes.
Very meaningful. So Sanchita, certain aspects, certain nuggets I'll take from the study, and then I'll ask you to tell what it means before we go a little deeper. Now, when we say that there is a link to profits, meaningful brands, as per the meaningful index that is defined in the study that you mentioned earlier, outperform the stock market by 222% with annual rate of 7.52%. So what does that mean?
So, see, the whole premise of this year's study has been, I mean, something that, in a post-pandemic world, we know that there are tons of, challenges that, all of us have to deal with, right? Whether it's the geopolitical tensions, whether it's inflation, whether it's recession, or whether it's any, climate change issues with climate change, social inequality, there are challenges that are there today. So what, and people, one out of every four people in this year's study say that, they are personally affected by one or the other challenges. And almost close to, I think if I remember the number right, 69% feels that, brands are not, I mean, brands need to do more to help people, overcome such challenges. So the whole premise is, as a brand, how am I able to, how can I make life more simple? What kind of convenience, or what kind of help that I can deliver for my users? So it's not just about, today consumers expect brands to, actually help them have a better quality of life, and it and when it comes to well-being, have a better, healthy, and expect brands to impact their well-being. And it's not just mental, physical, it's even spiritual well-being. So that's the expectation that consumers has for brands today. And a brand that is able to, you know, deliver on that, you know, one of the very important statistics that really stands out for us is, you know, 73% of consumers say that, you know, they really don't care if a brand would disappear tomorrow, right? So, which means, like, you know, whether that brand is in existence or not, I mean, people really don't care until unless you are able to dial up, you know, something or deliver something for the brand. So it could be their well-being, it could be making life easier for them, it could be, you know, making life much more simpler for them. So today, if you see a lot of brands which are really stacking up, you know, as the lead brands in India. So whether it's Google, whether it's WhatsApp, whether it's Flipkart, whether it's, if you really go deep down, you'll realize that, you know, they are dialing up a convenience. They're actually helping you either simplifying your life today, anything that you want, any information you want to, you know, learn something, upskill yourself, you know, find out information, you know, you can go to a Google, WhatsApp, Facebook. It just helps you stay connected. With COVID, you know, we've learned how convenient it has become to shop online. So brands which are successful today are dialing up a latent need state of consumers, are delivering on that. And as long as you're able to deliver on that, as long as you're able to simplify life, make life convenient, impact, you know, overall well-being, you know, I think, you know, the chances are that, you know, you will always outperform. And then, and therefore, you know, to your point that, you know, meaningful brands outperform in the stock market, it's only because of that. They are helping consumers to lead a much more better and enriched life.
Awesome, isn't that? I mean, to have that, to have statistics at a global level proving this is so amazing. You said 72%, Sanchita? 72%?
73% really don't care, you know, tomorrow if a brand disappears or not. And, you know, in terms of like 1 out of 4 people say that, you know, they are impacted by a global price, by some crisis or the other. Of those impacted, almost 58% says that there is, you know, lack of transparency or brands are not doing enough to help them overcome, you know, whatever it is that is happening in their life. So the expectation today for brands has gone up so much more. You not only expect brands to help you lead a better life, but you also expect brands to actually, you know, have an impact on your overall, you know, well-being. So I think that because the expectations have gone up so much more, that is why a brand that is able to deliver on those expectations are always, chances are that brands will become more meaningful. And the moment you are more meaningful, chances are that you'll have far higher conversions happening.
My God, there is hope in the world. You know, as general consumers, one could say that. Sanchita, now this well-being aspect also we'll understand, like it's kind of clubbed into 3 kinds of benefits. And you mentioned simplicity, a sense of control. So there are these 7-8 key principles that have come out from the study, which is a big indicator of what consumers are missing. Or like you said, there's crisis, technologies, you know, initiating a sense of anxiety. There's unpredictability, I mean, post-pandemic as well, but everything was leading to that. Lines blurring between roles. There's so much flux. So there are 7 principles that have come up, which is again a big anchor to evaluate, you know, whether you're in the right direction. But before that, Sanchita, one thing that is quite a buzzword and has been since many years, with, you know, HUL recently talking about the fact that we will not force put a purpose into our brands, etc. And when we talk about well-being and, you know, being good for the world, I would, in that context, I would like you to introduce this discernment between purpose and meaning and how this evolution is very clear from the study.
So, today, like just after COVID, it was an age of cynicism. Like, we were, and that was the crux of the last, the study that we did right after COVID, which spoke of like people were then at that point in time, it was collective benefits. People wanted brands to deliver on, the overall upliftment of the society, the community, and people around them. So, but now, in the last 2 years, when things have started settling down, what we've seen is, it's the rise of the economy, as we have, put it. What it really means is personal, your purpose is getting personal. So what has happened is, I think COVID has made all of us much more smarter, much more cognizant of the happenings around us, and much more empathetic, towards, our surroundings and people and environment. So what it really means that today, consumers, they are expecting brands to deliver on the environment, on the collective benefits. But consumers today, they want it to start. So they want to be, they are the ones who are saying that, it should start with us. So it is more about, as individuals, we will start affecting the change. And therefore, they resonate far higher with brands that actually, reflects their thoughts. So if a brand, a brand or a business that is into ethical, products, that is looking at investing in innovative, sustainable, ethical, ways of doing business. So that's the kind of resonance that a consumer is, having with that brand or a company. And therefore, the whole thing is they're talking that, it is individual account. They're willing to take that individual accountability. So it always has to start with us. And that is, the economy, that is the principle of the economy, the rise of the economy. And what it has given is they've actually laid down 8 principles that will, help you deliver on that principles that will kind of, what are those 8 principles? So I'll just quickly touch upon, some of them. So one is it takes like making mental and physical wellness, universal. So today, as I said earlier, consumers expect brands to not only, deliver on the functional, personal, and, collective benefits. They also want brands to make life, easy for them. They want that they are expecting brands to help them in their, overall well-being, and which is not only mental or physical, but which is also spiritual as well. They want people today, if you look at the Gen Zs and all, they want to do and feel more. They are not, bogged down by, okay, this you should not do or that you should not do. And they expect brands to actually help them live their lives, help them, feel, do, or probably, explore, the max possible limit that is possible, for someone to achieve. So they expect brands to actually help them in that. Not only that, they also expect brands, one of the things I remember was, this whole thing of respecting and celebrating, difference. So want brands that are more inclusive in nature. So the moment you are delivering on some of these aspects, of course, the chances are that, you'll have far better acceptability. They want brands to make themselves accessible. Today, if you look at it, I mean, I can go and talk a lot, but if I'm not accessible to someone, then how am I dialing up the meaningfulness aspect? So there are these 8 principles, but what is interesting is and the way we take it forward is at any point in time, you will not, brands need not do all 8 of them. It's not possible. But something which pick and choose those that resonate with your core purpose, right? Of what you want to stand out as a brand, And therefore, see how can you dial that up. What is it that you can do through your communications, through your media, through your content piece? How high are you able to dial that up and therefore forge much more stronger connections with your end users?
It's such a nice mantra, and just in one phrase puts everything in perspective, Sanchita. Purpose gets personal. And how you beautifully put it in perspective that it's not like a self-centered meanness that's coming into the picture. It's I want to be accountable, empower me, and the change needs to happen, but use me as an agent, empower me to be an agent, and then you are, and then it's tangible for them, it's palpable for them, rather than talking about something at a global end, and just staying at talking, And like you said, the principles that you've talked about, the 8 principles, just kind of, without oversimplifying, makes it very clear the directions that brands and the society is moving in. And Sanchita, another thing, so there is a business context, there is a, identifying your competition context, there's identifying your challenge context, and there's also segment context. Like you were talking, one thing I realized that it makes it very clear what a segment is prioritizing as compared to other segments, because the entire scale of data is available. For example, Gen Z is going to value, there are very high scores on, they are the happiest, and they're very keen to express the sense of self. And brands that help them express their individuality outperform by 66%. Isn't that a very interesting statistic?
It is. Of course, it is. It's a very interesting statistics. Now, for across any Gen Z study that I've seen or done, and even the Meaningful Brand study, this generation has a mind of its own. So they are very clear about, what they want, and what they want to do, what they need from brands. And the moment a brand resonates with their own value system or their own beliefs, they will take to that brand. See, we are also living in a time when it's an attention deficit economy, right? All it takes is 6 seconds to scroll. So which means that, if you are not able to put forward your message in that 6 minutes, you've lost a user, right? But for Gen Zs, if a brand is able to dial up or resonate with their own value system of what of their with their own sense of right and wrong, and it's not, only greenwashing. So, I think, when you come and talk about when people say greenwashing, and I think one of the stats says that almost like 70% believes that, brands are not doing enough. 69%, I think, are not doing enough. And it's there's a lot of, even what they're promising, they're not living up to that promise. So I think, people see through that. As consumers, we see through that, right? So, and especially for this generation who's very clear and who knows, what exactly they want and where they want to go, if you are able to dial up, or if you're able to resonate with their values and beliefs, the chances are, you'll be much more accepted, and as a brand, you'll resonate far better.
Yeah, amazing. As you were talking about, how we don't stop our thumb easily, I felt that, more meaning and being more meaningful can be a thumb stopper as well, apart from, technology, creativity. So at the root of it, fuel it with more meaning and get it right can be a big asset of for the generations. Right. So, Sanchita, when we are talking about how Avaaz Group can uniquely benefit the clients through this study, and if we take up some scenarios and if you feel okay about sharing some contexts, it can be at the category context, just to explain, different kind of challenges from a category level, business level, any kind of stage of brand level, you can have a very, very good diagnosis and a solution.
In this year's study, what we've seen is, of course, the personal benefits are getting dialed up more by brands. Just right after COVID, it was more collective. Now, what we've seen is for one of a category that we work on, which is in mattress, high-end mattress, we've seen that, earlier it was, brands were talking a lot more about functional benefits. The depth, the material, the quality, and stuff like that. But in the last 1 year, what we've seen is it is if you do a diagnosis of all communication that is happening in the category, people are dialing up personal benefits. Now, why is that so? Now, just take a step back and say, what is it today you'll see? Wellness or health is one of I think one of the most talked about topic today. It's like your feeds will get flooded with either products, whether it's food products, whether it's equipments, or whether it's clothes. So there's all kinds of conversations that is happening for around health and wellness. So, and one of the conversation that is today is on sleep. So they say that if it's 70% food, 20% exercise, and 10% is rest. So today, some very interesting stats, when it comes to sleep is, I think it is said that Indians, there is this 55% get less sleep than 6 hours of sleep. In terms of, it is one of the most 82%, there is an increase in searches by about 80 to 120% increase in searches in the number of searches related to sleep. So what we've also seen, like close to 30% of audiences come and say the sleep quality has deteriorated. So which means today, if you see it, it's all everyone's talking about personal, right? Because sleep has a direct impact on your mental well-being, on your physical well-being. So therefore we said, for a brand, if you have to start winning, you can't only talk about the functional aspects. You have to start talking about, the personal aspects, and therefore, have own meaningful conversation corridors that is happening around, health and wellness. How can you have, in terms of, so what else can you do in terms of, say, meaningful conversations? How can you have a more meaningful cultural, context to, all that you are doing? How can you be present every time, we are having conversations around health and wellness? How does the brand show up? So I think for us, it was very important to understand, where the category was moving. So from functional to impersonal is what we saw. Then we just layer it with information of, what is happening in at a larger, at a macro level, what kind of conversation. So you could actually layer it with social listening or, search results to understand, what's happening in a macro context. And therefore, have a clear-cut, way forward for clients saying, okay, this is how probably you need to dial up. So you can't, of course, you need to talk about, your products and, the product differentiations and the benefits, but you also need to come and talk about how, as a brand, you are dialing up, a consumer's, overall, well-being quotient. So I think this is how we use in some of the data. Whereas, if you cut to auto as a category, you'll still see that, functional still starts playing a key role, because also it's a very high involvement category, right? You will research a lot. It's they say that it takes 3 to 4 months for anyone to research before they finally go and start considering a certain brand. So there, you're still looking at, what are the functional aspects, that the category will deliver, and then of course, the personal. So it depends on, the category that you're operating. Different category would have its different nuances, basis, what's happening at a macro level on the from a cultural perspective. And therefore, what the meaningful brand study, the way we use it, is, understand, what's happening, layer it with information that we get from other sources to say, okay, this is the kind of conversations that we are seeing happening for this category, and therefore this is a clear-cut opportunity area that we see going forward. And therefore, what is it that we could do through media, through communication, et cetera, et cetera.
So, two very different categories, sleep and aspiration, rest and out of the home. And as you were speaking, Sanchita, what makes me very excited about a study like this. So I feel like you can understand the why of whatever is happening at a, you can zoom out of whatever data and category you're looking at. You can zoom out and then zoom in, and build the actual narrative of what's really happening. So globally, what's happening in India, how it's getting interpreted, and if you look at the social listening and look at the competition analysis, you can get to this attribute, this benefit, how do we talk about it? And is it just that is the difference? Or cultural zones, there is a shift in preference. You can link it to what is the larger forces, because you can at least detect, you can detect what's going on. Then of course, you can have other data to explain, or you can zoom into this thing. So that kind of a canvas and a landscape to really understand, I think, is very exciting for all strategists, Sanchita.
It is.
Also, this study is giving very, very clear indicators of the directions that have clearly emerged as winners in terms of what, because the universality of us is also is an amazing thing. We have started talking about it as we are more connected, that needs are not going to change big time across generations. Especially behavioral science is coming and pointing that out, that we've not really changed big time. Our needs are different. Our wants, yes, we can keep increasing them and keep exploiting that. And what I got really excited about, another thing was where, when you mentioned the age of cynicism.
21 was the age of cynicism. That was the report that we did just after COVID.
Isn't that amazing? And in a couple of years, it's shifted to this. That's a massive shift, because I remember just after COVID, and I would like you to, I mean, if you want to add on to this, just after COVID, this was whole, the jury was out. Has it really changed us? Has it not? Are we going back to our old ways? What has really it done to us? And you are saying there's a clear shift that the MBI has shown at a global level in terms of our belief system, our priorities.
If you look at it, see, because you can actually do a trend analysis. You can do in a pre-COVID year, COVID 2021, and then if you see there's a clear shift, because finally, today, as things get back to normal, of course you want now, obviously, I mean, as human beings, the interest is now, it's back to us. You yourself become the focus. So yes, people want, it's all about, how are brands helping me personally. But at the same time, as I said, we've seen that choice architecture emerging, that I want brands to deliver on the collective benefits, but I want to be that I want it to start with me. So I am taking the responsibility to first affect that change. Because if I can start affecting that change, there are 10 people along the way who will also start thinking, feeling the same way. That's how, that's how that whole spiraling effect takes place. And that is exactly what consumers today are also saying, that they resonate well with brands that are, show that are dialing up, the values that they have, whether it's, sustainable ways of doing business, whether it's ethical products, so one of the data points says that consumers today, they're willing to make that change themselves. So they are willing to do things for people who are, who are probably, not so well off, right? So they are willing to make shifts to much more, sustainable means, much more ethical options. So the whole point is that, as consumers, we have become much more cognizant of the fact. So yesterday only, I think I was reading this, Swiggy released its annual report, which they do on, what India is eating. So I don't know if you've noticed, one of the things that they've actually done in their app is, whether do you need a plastic bag for delivery of the products? If you say no, they just come and they actually put forward the number of people who said no to plastic. I'm saying it's a very small change, but it's a huge impact. So these are the small changes. So collectively, it becomes, huge. And I think that is what, and there are so many brands which has done that. I mean, which actually is trying to, yes, there is no point in having a purpose for everything, but when you have a genuine one, and no greenwashing for sure.
Is it's such a positive thing. I mean, it's the cynicism, it's complete opposite of that. It's completely opposite of that. Make me I'm ready to be accountable. Imagine. So I believe that change can happen. And I believe I can make a difference. It's completely opposite and very positive. And it's whole rise of the we also and rise of the me also. Like me. I understand what an individual can achieve. It's a celebration of that as well. And it's
Yes.
also that as a we are impacting each other big time. So, let's each one of us do our part. So it's an amazing, I shouldn't call it a paradox, but it's an amazing realization and a finding. It's a finding of the study. So, Sanchita, when you were talking about, so there are many things that the study can do. I'm going to just read out a few. And if you want to add any other example, then, do that. So, meaningful, building a meaningful brand strategy, measuring, tracking brand meaningfulness, reassessing brand position in the market, identifying category emerging trends that can be leveraged better. Understanding brand performance vis-a-vis competition on significant parameters slash category benefits, redefining market or competitors, reframing brand challenge.
So I think, of course, you can do a meaningful brand strategy because, as I said, it clearly tells you how brands are performing across those three pillars, and therefore, what is the gap that exists between people's expectations from brands, and therefore, which basically is a clear opportunity areas for brands to dial up on. So definitely, you can work on that. And because it's one of those oldest, global frameworks that you have. So, which means you can actually do any kind of trend analysis to see, how are the scores improving. So, one of the things that we've seen is, if you start doing stuff, say suppose you see that, you need to dial up personal or collective, whatever it is, you see the next year when you do the study, you can actually see, did the parameters improve? Did you tick mark on, what you had set yourself out for? So therefore, of course, you can measure and track, track the meaningfulness score that a brand is, delivering. You can understand, category emerging trends and all. Yes, you can understand, what is it that the category is dialing up? Or, and therefore, how off are you from that same? And therefore, do you need to, revisit and reframe your business and brand challenge? Not too sure about markets, but because it's done, so it will give you at a very pop strata level, say metro, non-metro types, but a deep dive. But you can still use those trends to get a sense of, what's happening. So the way I would always tell, my clients to use it. It's just use this as a framework and then see, then do your deep dives, individual market specific, if you're doing FGDs, you're doing any kind of research to understand, how is that market. So at times you will not have one data set telling that entire story. You will probably have to see the trends and use it or layer it with other data sets to see, are the trends similar? or because of this, you know, this is the cause that we are seeing in the market. So basically do an effect and cause and understand, you know, what is it that is driving or creating that impact. So that's how
Yeah.
we generally use it.
Any other example that you'd like to share?
So again, a global fast food brand, there, you know, it is a market leader, right? So when you're a market leader, then you know what you really dial up is you see ki, you know, in terms of, you know, the parameters of the attributes that you are dialing up, you know, what is it someone else is dialing up, you know, is there something that you can learn? Because, or as a leader brand, are you reflecting of, you know, what the category needs and wants are? Are you even talking that? And therefore, you know, so basically then for this fast food brand, it was also about there was a lot of collective. So we didn't see a huge trend on personal this year, but what we saw was, like, we've seen that over the years, the meaningful brand score has improved because they've been doing things, you know, consistently. But what it did for them was they were way higher in terms of functional. And when it comes to functional, they were talking about, you know, the range of products that they had to offer, whether, you know, it was good value for money, whether it was unique, whether, you know, in terms of logistics, is the delivery perfect, you know, is there anything that they could dial up? So it was mostly, so when you choose a fast food brand, obviously, you know, it has to satiate that momentary, you know, hunger or, you know, wanting to have something nice. So therefore, obviously, functional will start taking precedence. But at the same time, we saw that, you know, in personal things like, you know, is it making you feel happy? Is it giving you that sense of, you know, making you feel, giving you that good feeling, making you feel special? So I think, you know, the whole interpretation is, it depends again on a category. Something which is like, which will give you a product which will give you that momentary sense of satisfaction, maybe, you know, personal things will always, functional things will always, you know, stack up because you're looking for that instant gratification of sorts. But, you know, on a long-term level, you know, it's finally it's personal. It's whether, you know, it you are the brand making you feeling important? Is it bringing happiness? Is it bringing cheer, joy? You know, are you enjoying that meal with your family? So all of these things are as well, I mean, are also related. So that is how things. So a lot depends on the category in which you are operating. Is not like one size fits all. So if a certain category is not there, then we'll have to see what is the closest surrogate that we have, which we could use. But then, as I always say, that, you know, you layer it with other information that you might have from other researchers or, you know, having operated in that category, you know, what is the Google Trends showing? What are social listening telling us? And then see, you know, how is the narrative panning out?
We've gone literal. Rapid fire. Okay. So you have to be fast and you cannot think. If you elaborate or if you take time, you will be shot. Mother's best advice.
I don't listen to her.
Okay, Mama, are you listening? Alternate profession could have been.
Maybe working with the weavers and having my own line of, you know, saris or something, doing something much more meaningful than what I'm doing currently.
Oh, nice. As per your partner, most often used phrase, your most often used phrase.
Hey, Bhagwan.
Okay. Nice. A book you'd like to gift to all your friends.
Oh, if truth be told by Om Swami.
Okay. What would you tell your 18-year-old self?
Tried doing something else. Should
Okay.
have tried working with that weaver's thing.
Oh, awesome. Okay, I get it. Yeah. How would you like strangers to remember you?
Someone who smiles a lot, maybe.
Awesome. Okay, what's a lesson that took you a long time to learn?
That what others say about you, it's not about you, it's about them.
Okay, so now we're going to wrap up. I will request you to share any online addresses, emails that you'd like to. We'll have it in the show notes also.
If anyone wants to know anything on meaningful brands, then you can always write to me at sanchita.roy@havasmedia.com. Of course, it's been wonderful, talking to you, this Ravi, and this is such a nice, I mean, meaningful brands is, I think, something very close to everyone, who works at Havas. For you to, pick up meaningful brands and do this, it's awesome. And yeah, I mean, thank you so much for having me here today.
Thank you so much. It was an absolute pleasure.